A professional counselor in the Dallas area is growing in popularity for his treatment methods.
How do you talk to kids about terror? And with social media and television, it's everywhere, and it's unavoidable for kids.
Rusty Lozano is the founder of the Center for Biofeedback and Behavior Therapy. He's also been nationally recognized for his work with brain mapping.
He's created a gym to work out the mind. His office features an obstacle course.
Rusty Lozano is a licensed professional counselor, helping children with headaches, with anxiety, ADHD, and more.
Here's where Lozano comes in. He teaches kids how to think their pain away with something called biofeedback.
A North Texas therapist is treating patients in this unconventional way.
We have Rusty Lozano who's joining us today. He's a licensed professional counselor.
He put together an unusual treatment for teenagers who are struggling with mental issues, except he's taking this now a step further.
Rusty Lozano, a leading therapist and pediatric biofeedback therapist based in Texas at the Center for Biofeedback and Behavior Therapy. And Rusty, thanks for being with us tonight.
Rusty Lozano, a father of four and also a professional counselor in Texas, says it's all about being a credible resource to your children.
The Therapy Hour with Rusty Lozano, your dedicated resource for mental health news, views, and tips you can use. Brought to you by the Center for Biofeedback and Behavior Therapy in Addison, Texas. And now, here's Rusty.
Afternoon, and welcome to the Therapy Hour. Back at iHeartRadio. Excellent Sunday afternoon with some good friends. Jean-Claude Cruz with that deal. One of my good friends, neurologist, he is the Anodyne Headache and Pain Care and Well-Being Director in Dallas, Texas. He joins us today. Brittany Yergin, Trinity University, and Katie Alvarez from Cornell College.
Yes.
All right, awesome. We do this every Wednesday night at my center, and but now we're here in the studio. We're actually live, so... this is a lot more fun, lot more roomy, too. So I like it.
Yeah.
let's talk about pain conditions. And this program is brought to you by the Center for Biofeedback and Behavior Therapy. You can follow us live on Facebook. If you join us at the Therapy Hour with Rusty Lozano on Facebook, you will also be alerted to our future shows. And you can also watch the ones that we have previously recorded. So pain conditions. And this one is a really... perplexing type of pain condition. It's called complex regional pain syndrome, CRPS. But let me give you a statistic about how many people live with pain in the U.S. So the stress of severe pain, 11% of Americans suffer from chronic pain. This is from the National Institute of Health. Here in the U.S., we can't escape pain. A large chunk of the American population suffers from some sort of severe or chronic pain. A new National Health Institute study says that according to the data from the 2014 National Health Review Survey, 11.2% of American adults, 25.3 million people, have experienced some form of pain every day for the last 3 months. So pain has not only a physical element, but there's also psychological tenets. And that's where I come in, because this is a medical condition. And I have a physician here with me, and we're going to just kind of go into the concept of pain. We're going to actually put a friend of mine on also. Chris Jordan joins us from Austin, Texas.
Hello.
Chris, are you there?
Yes, I sure am.
Far out. How you doing, Chris?
Doing great, and you?
Great.
So
we're just opened up the topic. We're going to be discussing complex regional pain syndrome. And I'm getting some lag back. So what we're going to be doing is...
Is it on speakerphone?
No, I'm actually going through an interface with my preamp and everything else.
Okay.
Straight into my phone.
All right. Well, I'll see. Let's talk about what pain is. Pain is a signal that the body has been damaged or something is wrong. Reaction designed to protect you makes you stop what you're doing, what caused it. Pain can either be acute or chronic. Here's the pain process. It starts with the stimulus, and then the pain receptors respond. Then it activates signaling in the spinal cord, and then generates a signal from the thalamus, the cerebral cortex, and then there's your pain. I know it's real techie, but let's get into, I really want to talk about the physiology behind it, because that's where we come in, using biofeedback therapy and counseling as an effective approach to help, in addition to medication management. Complex regional pain syndrome, the abnormality of the processing of pain by the neurologic system. CRPS can either be type 1, RSD, or type 2, causalgia. Pain is disproportionate to the initial event. An official diagnosis must first rule out any alternative diagnosis frequently diagnosed associated with mild, severe injuries, surgeries, commonly carpal tunnel release, and distal radial fracture. And it can occur either before or after therapy referral. Let's talk a little bit about, in your perspective, Jean-Claude.
Yes. Hi.
Hi. What do you see with complex regional pain? And then can you differentiate those two types for us, the causalgia?
Well, yeah, I wouldn't get stuck in the terminology much other than complex regional pain syndrome is the preferred term. RSD is really kind of out of date by now. It's been called by at least 17 different names since the Civil War, when the first cases of CRPS were described in soldiers that had been wounded. And the type 1 has absence of any evident injury to a nerve trunk, yet evidently the pain processing is abnormal, whereas causalgia by definition means that you've injured part of some ongoing network, like as in a bullet wound or whatever.
Right.
Or
there's
fracture
a causality.
Or whatever, yeah.
There's some sort of etiology for
well,
reason.
Well, yeah, and the whole complex regional pain syndrome is a what-is-it kind of a pain. Some people think it has an autoimmune basis. I think those of us in pain management tend to think of all pain, regardless of pain, headaches, et cetera, as having a root in neuroinflammation. And I think that kind of sits well with me. Of course, in the last 20 or 30 years, we've discovered all kinds of, or know about, but don't understand, the functions of chemical critters like cytokines, natural anti-inflammatory agents. We know about endorphins and kephalins, and that's our endogenous braking system for incoming pain signals. But CRPS is a very small proportion of the total pain population in the country, which can be well over 100 million people, plus people who live in chronic pain, who by definition of pain pretty much on the daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
but I want to say something really quick about how complex it is, and especially when it comes to pediatrics. I've worked with children that have demonstrated this type of syndrome and have come in for treatment as a last resort because medication approaches, they don't necessarily, they may not have actually worked, and they're still experiencing the pain. I'm thinking of one case in particularly where a little girl came into my office and her right foot was on fire consistently. And it got to the point where somebody along the way just told them that she's just going to have to deal with it and move on and go back to school. Meanwhile, you know, she's in a wheelchair and being moved around.
Yeah, and it can spread from limb to limb. There could be an initial fracture, or as simple as twisting your ankle can be enough to set off the process. The question is, what is that process? Some CRPS is what we tend to call sympathetically driven, where your sympathetic nervous system, that's only
that's
one
of the fight or flight mechanism.
Fight or flight mechanism is kind of rumbled up and stays rumbled up, and your skin becomes sweaty, sensitive. We call that allodynia, where just blowing a gust of warm air on your skin will
and that's,
set off
that
fire
is so
for days.
Because it's actually, they can feel the airflow in the room. And even and in this case, she was describing the sensations between her toes.
Right.
And even just the slightest touch, the slightest stimulation, seem to generate a pain signal.
It's right, really incredible. And a quick comment on what you said is it is not a disease process that's A, well understood, but B, it's definitely a multifactorial sort of approach, or a team approach, if you will.
Yes.
And if you don't deal with the behavioral aspects, the autonomic aspects, it's not just giving somebody a pain medication, an opioid or something. In fact, opioids don't work that well for neuropathic pain. And where you have a lot of stabbing, burning, shooting pain, color changes, we tend to call that neuropathic pain, just for any pain syndrome.
And you can actually tell there's a difference in the limbs. The skin has different texture. It's moist.
Yeah.
It seems different, cooler to the touch.
It can be warmer to the touch. It could be mottled. It can be very temperature sensitive. Movement can precipitate pain as well as non-movement as well. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't play by the same rules, if you will, as the pain after a broken bone or something. Something fundamentally in the central nervous system has changed and is promoting that pain. So as we get to be a little smarter about the physiology behind it, that's pain. CRPS is a fascinating yet very disabling disorder.
And interesting to discuss, because we're going to be getting into the psychology of the symptomology. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after these messages.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat. I would flip-flop all night long. I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed. It's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever.
My Pillow is now offering 50% off their 4-pack special plus free shipping. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-480-1941 and use promo code IHEART. That's 50% off plus free shipping. Don't delay. Order now.
In business, risks and rewards come with every decision, like moving to the cloud with Office 365. While its benefits include anywhere access and lower costs, cyber threats and user errors can quickly wipe out data and the money you save. Barracuda Essentials for Office 365 provide an added layer of security and functionality for threat protection, email migration, data recovery, and quality of service. Move securely to Office 365. Visit Barracuda.com/essentials to learn more.
Want to feel like a total boss? Then switch to the best deal in America, Total Wireless. With Total Wireless, you get America's largest, most dependable network plus 5 gigs of high-speed data and unlimited talk and text for only $35 a month. Whoa, how did you get all that? Oh, that's right. You're totally a total boss. And you never sign a contract. Total Wireless. Total confidence. Available at Walmart. Always refer to the latest terms and conditions of service at TotalWireless.com.
You're listening to the Therapy Hour with Rusty Lozano, brought to you by the Center for Biofeedback and Behavior Therapy in Addison, Texas.
Hello, we're back. Thank you for joining us. This is the Therapy Hour, and we're discussing a chronic pain condition called CRPS, and we're looking at the symptomology. We have our guest, Dr. Jean-Claude Cruz, and Chris Jordan, Brittany Egan,
Jurgen.
Sorry,
close.
Me.
Close.
It's close. Yeah, I can't say that fast. And then Katie Alvarez, and we're talking about symptomology of this pain condition. And when we left at the break, we're discussing the presence of the skin and what it looked like, and how the body really is that the area, the affected region actually really does look different. And
looks different, it feels different, color changes, skin sensitivity.
But yet there's no there's not an actual pathology. There's no reason why.
Well, there is always a pathology, and I think most pain physicians would agree that there's some component of inflammation. We call it neuroinflammation. Personally, I think that some of our hormonal systems can be involved. Sugar dyscontrol, thyroid, progesterone, testosterone, estradiol may be involved. DHEA, pregnenolone. So it's been an interest of mine of the interaction of how our hormonal systems can drive or perpetuate or allow chronic pain to keep occurring.
Yes. Are you familiar with the McGill Pain Index?
Oh, yes.
So it goes from 0 to 50.
Right.
And according to these stats, the CRPS pain rated is at 42.
Right. It's one of the highest.
It's one of the most painful forms of chronic
pain. Like trigeminal neuralgia, vulvodynia, and pelvic pain, chronic migraines, chronic cluster headaches. Those have very high indexes on that scale.
So when you as a physician, and you have a lot of experience, you've been in the field for a good while.
30 years, yeah.
But did you run across this in your early days of
medicine? Yes, I really don't do most of neurology except where it butts up against mood disorders and chronic pain, chronic headaches, chronic sleep, and what's really important is that, like all chronic pain syndromes, you have a tendency, a strong tendency, a very high likelihood of developing a comorbid mood disorder. So you become angry. Of course you become angry when your life is changed.
You have anxiety.
Anxiety,
try new things.
Depression. And if you've had a brain injury and RSD, and some RSDs are known to be at least started up after a concussion. And we've seen those.
Post-concussive symptoms like
that. As well, yeah.
So, and I'm about to pull Chris into this, but the perception of the outlook of your life, you're living in pain, and you feel lousy. You think about, and I always use this example to share with parents so that they have some idea of what it's like. But try to imagine when you have, you know, those early stages of having a cold or a flu.
Right.
And you feel terrible.
Like somebody's achy, beating you with a stick.
You feel achy all over the body. Right. And yeah, you just want to lay down. You're not in the mood to go to a movie.
No.
You could be at Disney World. I mean, I remember a few years back, it did take my family to Disney World, and three of them ended up getting sick, and they stayed home and back at the hotel we were at. And I was like, well, come on, we're here. Let's go. And they were just sleeping. So you think about how the presence of the symptoms occur and what it can actually do to your quality of life that you have.
Well, and that's why it's so important to have a team approach using psychological techniques, cognitive behavioral therapy, physical therapy is a part of it. Yeah, medications, everybody in this country says, give me something. You know, it's like going to McDonald's to pick up your hamburger. Well, it doesn't quite work that way.
Especially when you have
approach.
Well, in biofeedback, we work on peripheral blood flow and targeted peripheral blood flow using relaxation strategies. And we work with the stress and anxiety aspect of a symptom. You know, what I've seen is with practice, being able to warm your hands, use strategies to relax yourself and allow this parasympathetic response to activate, and you can control this blood flow. And what I've seen with this approach is it has a reboot, if you will. It actually rehabilitates circulation in the area and engorges the tissue with blood flow, which then seems to desensitize the pain and the sensitivity to touch.
Yeah.
And then they learn how to sustain that.
Not to badmouth medications. There are specific medications that will take down sympathetic outflow from the central nervous system and brainstem and kind of block the output, that fight or flight reaction. The medicine is something I use for a dozen different things, although officially it only has one approval for muscle relaxation. You get a lot of involuntary movements with CRPS. You can get dystonia, involuntary curling of muscles. You can get twitching. You can get tremors. If you take down the sympathetic nervous system in a nice, gentle way, you can make at least an overall beginning of an approach to taking some of that high sympathetic tone down. And the medication is tizanidine. It's been around for 35 years, at least in Europe, and got here. And it's something that is very specific on taking down central sympathetic tone.
And it's and I think that having the right concoction and trials and patience and is super essential.
Well, I'm trained in an area called neuropharmacology, and I was fortunate to train with somebody who eventually won the Nobel Prize for what is essentially Viagra and these days. But the mechanism had very much to do with the opening and the closing of very small blood vessels and peripheral blood flow to nerve trunks,
yes,
which can be highly affected in CRPS.
Absolutely. I'm going to switch gears here for a second. Chris, are you here?
Yes, I am.
So you and I, Chris and I went to college together, and we went to the University of Dallas in Irving. And believe it or not, what we would do is a good majority of our interactions with each other was perception, talking about how we see the world. And we started with the early tenets of how Aristotle would see the world and describe things like the presence of God. Just the unmoved mover is what it was called. But how just with something that is close has an effect. It just makes the world, just with his presence, just it makes the world go around. And so really, really deep. So what I want to do, Chris, is let me ask you something.
Sure.
When somebody's living with pain, all right, and this is actually more of a perceptual thing. Give me an example. Let's start a little dialogue of what you think might occur with somebody's outlook of life or outlook of just their daily interactions, quality of life.
Well, I can tell you from personal experience, Rusty, that I pulled my back out when I was about 15 years old, and I'm 40 something now, and I've dealt with some kind of soreness, tenderness in my back since then. I've had a couple other back injuries in my life, but to know what it's done to me, and even now at 41, doing what I do and doing large shows and moving equipment and things like that, there are things that, like, I can personally no longer do because I realize it will take me 2 or 3 days to recoup from doing that show. And is it worth me missing 2 or 3 days on another show just because I did one day of work? And it does do something to your mentality, most definitely. I saw it with my mother years ago. She always dealt with arthritis, things like that, but years ago, she had to have parts of her spine fused together. She had to have a total hip replacement at a very young age, things like that. And for her to not be able to move around the classroom and the school the way that she used to, it affected her as a person, as a teacher, even.
And there goes your quality of life.
Yeah, exactly. And it really does start to eke into who you are as a person. And, you know, I've found different ways to redefine myself, but hey, when you've been a stand on your feet teacher for almost 30 years, you've basically defined yourself at that point, you know? And how do you go about redefining yourself with this in mind, you know? And like there actually came a point here in the last couple years where my mother had to medically retire from teaching. And I was like, you know, you were an administrator, Mom. You have to see it from their point of view. Like at some point, you moving that slow in the hallway becomes an actual, like, liability with kids in the hall and things like that. So, yeah, I've seen her personally mentally struggle with that and how to define herself afterward, you know, and even being forced to medically retire like 2 years early. But even then, the process of switching gears, you know, now it's like there has been just going through since you asked me to be on the show and going through and reading up on this syndrome. I see quite a bit of that in her, especially the depression, things like that.
What we're talking about is how a person's identity changes. The things that they've known and they've become accustomed to. If you're a sailor, you ride horses, if you're an artist or a sculptor, that all of a sudden those things become compromised because you're not able to enjoy them again anymore, and you have to start pulling back. Then what starts happening to your life? The depression sets in, or the avoidances, and you try to do it, and it's coupled with pain and discomfort. All of a sudden, you're going to start retreating from things that you found fun and exciting in the past, and that's anhedonia.
Regarding your prior comment, I'm reminded of a book that I have at home I should reread. Aristotle and Aardvark go to Washington, D.C., and talks about the melding of lots of things, but philosophically, the change in lifestyle, the perception of disability, the perception of having to make so many compromises just to get by in a chronic disease is tremendous.
And it can be really, really difficult to overcome. We're going to take a quick break.
Yeah.
We'll be right back. Hey, hold that thought, Chris. Be right back.
I'm KFC's extra crispy Colonel, and you're the extra busy regular person who has to make dinner for a family of four. But you can shirk that responsibility because my extra crispy $20 fill-up from KFC contains 8 pieces of freshly double-breaded extra crispy chicken, 4 biscuits, 2 orders of mashed potatoes, and a side of coleslaw for just $20. That'll feed them. KFC, it's extra crispy good.
Pricing and participation may vary. Tax and substitutions extra.
Can you read a tape measure and turn a screw? If so, you can install custom blinds. Hi, I'm Kyle Cox, owner of Blindster.com. And I'm so confident you can do it yourself, I guarantee your blinds will fit, even if you make a mistake in measuring. Backed by a 60-day satisfaction guarantee, our blinds are handcrafted, shipped free of charge, and delivered to your door in about 2 weeks. At prices starting at just $20.
Visit Blindster.com today and save 30% on any order. Just enter code RADIO at checkout. Blindster.com. Blinds, TER.com. Blindster.com.
Hello, this is Dane Miner, General Manager of Freeman Toyota. A while back, we started using the words total transparency here on the radio, and I gotta tell you, I hear those words every single day from our customers because it's what you want, and we don't make you work to get it. When you contact us, we'll give you our best price up front. We'll quote your interest rate and payments. We'll even give you the value of your trade-in based on your description, on the phone or by email. And since we disclose everything up front, take advantage of our concierge service and let us deliver the car and paperwork right to your home or office. At Freeman Toyota, we vow to deliver a truly refreshing experience by treating you with respect, giving you honest, upfront answers, and backing up everything we do with 100% guarantee. Discover total transparency with Freeman Toyota. We're located on the affordable side of the Metroplex at 183 and 820, just south of the Northeast Mall. Call 1-800-NEW-CARS or online at freemantoyota.com.
You're listening to The Therapy Hour with Rusty Lozano, brought to you by the Center for Biofeedback and Behavior Therapy in Addison, Texas.
Hi, we're back. And if you're just joining us, we are discussing CRPS. And then also really getting into the pain perspective of how it affects your lives. We just heard from Chris Jordan. He joins us from Austin, Texas. And my guest, Jean-Paul Cruz, Brittany.
Juergen?
Katie Alvarez. I'll get it. Juergen. You're here again.
Yeah.
And what we were discussing over the break before we got back was the effect of young people and how young people in just at the beginning of their lives developing an identity to themselves. They live with pain, and can people figure this out? Katie, you had a story you were telling us about.
Yeah, I do personally know an individual who, I don't know if she has been diagnosed with CRPS or what it is, but she's been having, or she has had for a number of years, this chronic pain in her arm. And I know it all started after she got sick, and even after that, the doctors couldn't figure out what it was. They don't know what started it. Besides it beginning after she got this virus or something. And ever since then, she's been to plenty of doctors. She's been to neurofeedback physicians and has tried what feels like everything to her. And still nothing. And so at this point, she's just kind of accepted it. And she's young. She's in her early 20s, still in college, and just has accepted that she's going to live with this pain in her arm and has limited herself to where she doesn't feel comfortable driving, and even has affected her school life. She's been putting off these writing classes because she knows that writing as much as, you know, writing these long essays, it's going to be terrible for her. And so it's limited even her school life education-wise. She feels afraid to take these classes that, you know, should be just be regular introductory courses, you know, history classes that are required for everyone, and she feels kind of nervous about taking them. So,
and then that, in fact, is going to result in her self-esteem.
Right.
It's going to result in affecting the patience level. It's going to result in affecting her mood. And think about somebody who's young and meeting people moving forward.
Trying to have a social life.
How are you going to present? And then all of a sudden now you may be, you know, and this is for any individual.
Mm-hmm.
You may be crabby, uncomfortable, angry, short-tempered. And then you see the result of your reaction, but it's driven by something underlying, a pain condition.
Yeah, that nobody can tell you what's causing it. That, until now, we really don't have, except some ideas about what may be contributing. I would like to say, as a general statement, and I say this to all my patients, that the three words you never really use, or I don't use in my practice, are fix, cure, or heal.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And it's about quality of life. It's about reduction of symptoms, mm-hmm. whether medication, therapy, or combinations of things, non-surgical, non-medicative therapies. I had the privilege of being introduced Friday to a gentleman who's developed a non-medicative technique that is used for neuropathic pain. His name is Dr. Don Rhodes, and he's in the Woodlands, and he is looking at a technique that he's developed called the Vector System, V-E-C-T-T-O-R, and he's developing it further and looking for funding and wanting to do research on headaches and pain, and especially neuropathic pain. So it's kind of an interesting way he has developed, and he's trained as a podiatrist. Mm-hmm. So the chronic pain doesn't belong to neurology, to anesthesiology, to any one discipline. Physical medicine and rehab is often involved. Finding somebody answers. I'm much less imbued with the idea of what's causing this. The idea is what's on the table that you can make better. That's much more important, I think, in the patient's lifestyle and their productivity.
Yeah. And, you know, but there are some kind of offbeat therapeutic approaches that have been effective, and you don't hear about them very often. And it's a case by case, and it may be hypnosis, it may be EMDR, cranial sacral massage, which are alternatives. And And they're all kind of, there are lots of approaches out there. But one thing I want to kind of caution people as they look into these things is, you know, research, do your homework, and don't be afraid to try new things. I think it's important to, you know, keep an open mind and see what all is being done out there in addition to medication management. So you don't leave one sector, but you just kind of add.
There are free societies that can be joined. The American Chronic Pain Association has a lot of support. It's a support group for patients with all kinds of pain, including CRPS. There's also a fellow named Jim Broach, who has a CRPS newsletter available for free or a minimal donation. And they sponsor research and they try to put the word out there about what's out there. We've gotten for almost 20 years into looking at sub-anesthetic doses of anesthetics to treat CRPS, things like propofol, things like lidocaine, the stuff that a dentist would numb your gums with, things like ketamine, which are gaining some traction in the chronic pain, chronic headache, and chronic mood world as well. So, yeah, medications can be useful for flare-ups or to keep things toned down, but by no means a medication. Once you have some temporary success and your pain levels are 30 or 40% lower than they had been, that's the time to jump in with some of the techniques that you do.
Right.
With mindfulness, meditation, and CBT, and all the support structures.
Sure. Not all medical approaches are the same. So what happens if a patient runs into an avenue with the physician practice and they've exhausted all
Move on to the next pain specialist. This is not something a GP is comfortable, a general practitioner would be comfortable approaching, evaluating, the diagnosing, and treating. So you really have to find pain specialists. As a board of directors member of the Texas Pain Society here in the state of Texas, we see a lot of chronic pain patients, obviously, but the majority of that society are interventional anesthesia. And they do nerve blocks and all kinds of things and spinal cord stimulators and things that are not, frankly, just throwing an X tablet or capsule down the hatch.
Truly.
What is your view on the actual blocking of the spinal cord and stuff with pain blockers? Because my my parents actually both have tried it before, but it's kind of like an ongoing process. And I've
Well, that's the topic of it's a huge topic to begin with. I think it's important to understand that all good things come with a good sleep, a sound sleep pattern. If you don't address that, you're not going to see things move along quite as well. And whether you accomplish that through meditation or medication is really not the issue. The issue is to create a sound platform for restful sleep so your brain can rest. My strongest suggestion is if you don't like what you hear or you're confused, get another opinion. Find out who in the pain society does things that's very easily accessible information.
So don't give up. I mean, you may run across somebody that says, well, it's in your head.
Well, yeah, this crazy factor really drives me nuts because, yeah, it is in your head and your brain and your central nervous system and peripheral as well, but not in a way that implies you're crazy. This is not a crazy issue.
Right, and then the meaning that it's not also that you just have to just deal with it and and quit and you know, but what was it that it was a terminology that someone suck it up, buttercup?
Yeah,
yeah.
Terminology?
Yeah.
No, that's stupid. That's medical stupidity.
Yeah, and I know my mom for years. I told her about spinal cord stimulation.
Right.
I was like, you should check into it. Ask your doctor, because she had neuropathy in her feet from her back issues and stuff like that in her hip. And I was like, check into it. And it took forever for her pain specialist to actually check into it and to actually recommend it as a course of action. And I know that they had to remove it from her, but for the time that she had it, like, that was quite literally the only way that my mother was able to dance at my wedding.
Wow.
Mm.
Whenever we got married, because other than that, like, now she basically uses, you know, a little push walker mm-hmm. to get around most places other than her house and stuff like that.
I want to get into that. I think that's you brought up something really important is the usage and the dependency on things like wheelchairs and walkers and canes and what your thoughts are on, like, you know, doing something like that and keeping it around, Doc. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, I was personally there when my mother, because of her neuropathy, things like that, like, fell in the garage and hurt herself. So for me, it was one of those, like, hey, if you need to use a cane to assist you, like, I will go out and buy you a 4-point cane. I don't want you to, like, become dependent on it. I don't want you to get a chair.
And that's where you want to just maybe spend some time and just kind of practice off of the cane every now and then, and just kind of see if you can work through the pain some.
Exactly. You know, go hit the pool and walk a few laps in the shallow end.
There you go.
Get some resistance therapy going, things like that.
Yeah, and push yourself.
Not only that, but quite honestly, like, half of my back pain disappeared when I found what I was supposed to be doing in life.
And that's a really important...
When I actually became, like, a happy and whole person in and of myself.
And hold that thought, Chris. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
When smart businesses need to grow their team, they do it on the site proven to deliver, Indeed.com. According to an independent study, Indeed delivers 5 times more hires than any other job site, more hires than the rest combined. And right now we're giving new users a $50 credit to post a sponsored job, boosting your listing and relevant search results. Claim your $50 credit at Indeed.com/credit. Indeed, the world's number one job site. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
The law offices of Frankel & Frankel, they started their practice about 23, 24 years ago. They can get you to a doctor and get you treatment even if you don't have health insurance. And they don't get paid unless you get paid. So there are no out-of-pocket costs. Frankel & Frankel, they will take cases to trial when needed. That's why they're called trial attorneys. They'll fight and attempt to get you the most for your settlement. Partners Mark Frankel, Scott Frankel, and Gene Burkett were all recognized in 2015 and 2016 as best lawyers ND Magazine. Mark and Scott were also selected super lawyers in 2015 and 16, according to a Thomson Reuters service printed in Texas Monthly. So whether it's a car wreck, motorcycle wreck, or 18-wheeler wrecks, the Frankels can help. The Frankels, they make it easy. You can call and talk to an attorney. The consultation is free, and it's important to get treatment quickly when needed. Don't forget the number. Write it down. Throw it in your wallet, purse, glove box. 1-800-LAWYERS. It's the law offices of Frankel & Frankel, principal office, it's in Dallas, Texas.
Call 1-800-LAWYERS for personal injury cases. Frankel & Frankel, proud supporters of the Russ Martin Show Listeners Foundation.
If you're involved in youth or high school sports, you need to know about Positive Coaching Alliance. PCA is a national nonprofit organization developing better athletes and better people through youth and high school sports. For more information, visit positivecoach.org.
You're listening to The Therapy Hour with Rusty Lozano, brought to you by the Center for Biofeedback and Behavior Therapy in Addison, Texas.
Hello, you're back. And we're really getting into this pain condition and the psychological tenets and personal experiences from, and you know, what's interesting is everybody here has had something to contribute about a family member or somebody that they know who experiences pain. This segment is brought to you by Texas Child Neurology. Patricia Morales, 972-769-9000. Pediatric Neurology, Patricia Morales. Excellent doctor. So let's get into this. You were, before the break, we got into, Chris, you were saying, you know, well, go get into the pool and maybe walk around the the shallow end for a little bit and get your legs moving. And let's, I want to talk about that for a little bit, because I think that when somebody doesn't have pain and they have expectations, or they try to push and drive an individual who is experiencing a lot of pain to go and do something, that can be a little bit perturbing. It could be annoying, or I can't do it. But at the same time, it could be a little bit uplifting. Somebody cares. Somebody's pushing me. I'm like a trainer. Yeah, I think I can do this. I feel confident. And you say, you know, you have my wedding that you're going to need to dance at and, you know, be a participant. And so it could be motivating.
Well, the rule of thumb in CRPS is that you attempt exercising of any nature, whether it's on land, in water, up to the point of pain, and stop. And the other thing I want to mention is we typically, with CRPS, we tell people to avoid ice. Ice has been shown to worsen CRPS.
Icing the body, or?
Icing of the affected part, okay. But even the body, because if you put, let's say your left arm is the arm with the CRPS, you could put ice on your foot, and what you're going to do is you're going to lower your core temperature through signaling to the brain.
Yeah,
and ice has been shown to be detrimental. Heat supposedly is much gentler and safer than ice.
And heat would actually it would stimulate vasodilation, as compared to ice, that would actually create more vasoconstriction.
Mm-hmm. Vasoconstriction. That's right.
And so, you know, I always explain to a family, to people when we're dealing with vascular headaches, you know, any vessel, any vein system that you have in your body looks like a centipede, and it has these little dendrils that come out of it. Those are peripheral nerves.
Right.
And so your brain at any given moment knows exactly what's happening in any part of the body, and that's how intelligent it is, through sensors. And if so, there's an area that's affected, it will stimulate those peripheral nerves to shut off circulation into that affected area, and then the constriction element will then trigger the body to go into that stress mechanism. It's usually what happens when the peripheral or the sympathetic fight or flight mechanism activates.
Well, on a personal note, I've had neuropathy for over 50 years. Now, some of it's based on neck and back structural things, but some of it was based on, inadvertently sticking myself with the blood of a prisoner when I was working in a jail during my training, and I developed hepatitis C, which has now been cured, okay? Now, hepatitis C is zero for almost 3 years, but the neuropathy, the stinging in my fingers, my feet, hasn't gone away. Mm-hmm. And if you take me out of a brightly lit situation and put me rapidly into a darkened situation, my brain literally doesn't know where my feet are. And that's part of neuropathic pain.
Interesting.
Some of the signaling. And I've dislocated shoulders and had to have, you know, falls because I was stupid. I didn't make the compromise that I had to make to avoid that fall.
Yeah.
Fortunately, I haven't done that.
And you fell because you couldn't feel your feet?
Yes.
That's so interesting.
In part.
Yeah.
And my balance systems are off at that point. At that moment, your brain literally, that's critically dependent on feedback on where your body is, is getting the signaling.
That's fascinating.
And the way my mom describes it is it's like you're wearing like 85 pairs of socks.
That's like a good way of putting it.
But it burns at the same time.
That's correct.
I'm a gout sufferer myself, so I can utterly understand the pain in the foot. But to not be able to feel what's underneath your feet tonight, I mean, that's how my mom fell in the garage.
Right.
Was she literally couldn't even feel the difference in the level of the concrete.
I did as well. Cost me shoulder surgery.
It's like you said earlier, doctor, it's the quality of life. And that's what I mentioned to her whenever she was going through the debate as to whether or not to medically retire from teaching. I was like, I know it hurts. And, you know, like that's what gets you up in the morning. But you have grandchildren. You know, we just got married. There are many other things in life you have to consider other than just what you do 9 to 5. Mm-hmm. And you have right. to consider the longevity of your quality of life. Sure, you could probably push another 2 years out of yourself, but what is that ultimately going to mm-hmm. detract from down the line? You know,
very good point.
As far as cumulative pain, things like that, like you said, the advice is to work up into the point of pain.
And don't be afraid of it.
And then stop.
You know, it's pesky more than anything else. It's a misfire in the brain. And there is this concept now that it's circulating for over a decade, psychoneuroplasticity.
Right.
Psychoneuroplasticity is that your brain is plastic. It's consistently evolving. It's consistently changing. You can learn new things, and it mm-hmm. continues to evolve. And so you continue to work on trying to rehabilitate, continue to work on trying to increase and improve symptoms through your efforts, but not to let it start to have such a negative effect on how you see the world.
Yeah, it's not about popping the next hydrocodone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, and you know what? And maybe it is for a while, and you
for
can't be too hard on yourself, but to not give up and not let that be right. like your end all, is all, and that's just where I'm at. And all of a sudden, like the life that you were familiar with just starts to become very narrow, where you're only content on the couch or in your bedroom or in the house.
That idea of kind of like pushing through the pain after an injury is something you hear a lot in athletics too. So I'm actually a cross country runner myself, and you hear all the time it's going to hurt, and like your brain is, that's what our physical therapists would tell us, it's like your brain's telling you you're in pain, but your body's still able to do that function.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of like, because I went through it too, and it's an interesting thing to kind of have to outsmart yourself a little bit, but to know, like what you said, like when you're experiencing real pain, to really draw back.
Well, you do develop better and better compensatory strategies, and that's what it's all about. With the work that we do, mm-hmm. we teach people how to look at the world differently, and yet at the same time, not to consider themselves disabled or
that's right.
broken in some way.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's real easy to do when you have pain and it feels uncomfortable. But, you know, what I would say is get out and enjoy as much as you can. I went a few years back with my grandmother to Machu Picchu. It's my mom, my grandmother, and my sister. And she wanted, you know, she had a really difficult time walking. She had a lot of pain in her hip. So we moved her close enough to the ruins so she could see, you know, what everything was. But at the same time, we made her go. You know, we made her, okay, she wanted to sit, but work with us. Move over here so you can see at least and be a part of this rather than just kind of waiting here in the shade. I'll wait for you guys. You guys go have a great time. How depressing that can be, you mm-hmm. know, to just say, hey, I'm not a part of this. So what do you think about that?
Well, I thoroughly agree with you. I think people are very plastic in the sense that they are able to adapt. They are resilient. They can learn new strategies. Question is, how motivated are they?
Yeah.
If there aren't family supports, personal supports, and other factors, you're going to have a very difficult time. Teaching yourself how to meditate, well, heck, I've been doing that for 45 years. I still don't have it right.
Mm.
But the point is, not doing it versus doing it is really what it's about.
Yeah, you know, I'm really impressed with you, Doc. If you have as much pain and tingling, it doesn't stop you. I mean, you showed up in my office the other day. We worked on some recordings.
Well, I hobbled in a little bit because of the rain yesterday.
Yeah, it was raining. You had a cup of coffee, and we sat down in my studio, and I was like, well, you know, you're out and about. So I had no idea that this was something that you were experiencing. And you've even been to my office as late as, you know, for a later show on Wednesdays. We do broadcast live Wednesday nights on Facebook Live. And we are broadcasting live here from KFXR Talk Radio 1190. And you can follow us on Facebook. I want to spend time letting you – how can people find you? And, Chris, how can people find you? Let's go with you first, Doc.
Well, the clinic number is 214 750-6664, a couple of blocks from Presbyterian Main Hospital, where I used to attend. It's a private clinic, and you can Google up my name, and that's probably
And that is the Anodyne Headache, Pain Care, and Wellbeing Center, Jean-Claude Cruge. And the way to say his name is like the saying the word crucial, just take the all out of it and cruche. There you go, Doc. Chris, what about you?
Well, you can listen to me on the Dudes and Beer podcast every Tuesday night. Our app is free on the Android and iTunes market. We also have a Listen Live Now page on our website, dudesandbeer.com. I also host a tech podcast about audiovisual and filmmaking, things like that, called The Talking Sound Show. You can find us online, talkingsoundshow.com. Other than that, yeah.
And you're actually doing something different. You're doing a Fathers in Beer.
I just started, and I was going to say we need to have you on an episode soon with the epic father adventure that you just had with the kids.
Right.
But it's labeled as the only intergenerational conversation on fatherhood in America. And really, it's there to kind of explore, like, I don't know, I guess as a new father, it's one of those, like, I want to get the wisdom of all these other fathers that have come in front of me.
Yeah.
You know, like.
And there's a lot to learn, dude. There is a lot to learn.
Oh, it's a huge learning curve, and I'm all about a learning curve.
Y'all have a great afternoon. Take care.
And